Good morning. I would like to welcome all of you here to Midway Church of Christ. We just have a couple of announcements before we begin our morning worship service. The first one is congratulations to Justin Monich for receiving his Bachelor of Business Administration and Doctor of Jurisprudence at the University of Houston. So, great job to Justin. Grandson of Linda Sires and brother of Jason Monich. And then Wednesday, July 27th, we'll have a sandwich supper at 6 p.m. here at the building. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the foyer. Kel and Wendy George from Dominica will be visiting with us that night, so please plan to come for that. And then ladies, mark your calendars for August 10th. It's a Wednesday morning, 9:30 a.m. here at the church building. For morning ladies Bible class, we'll resume and we'll be studying the book of Ruth. Terry just told me just a few minutes ago, so hopefully I got this right, but for those that have children that are attending Camp Awesome, or if you're going yourself, they will be a planning meeting on the 24th after morning worship service here, July 24th, because we just have a couple weeks, I think, before Camp Awesome is here. And then I have a card from the Duffys. Dear church family, we want to express our sincerest thanks for all of your support, care, and concern regarding our absence and the passing of Justin's grandfather. We deeply appreciate your cards, calls, and prayers. We are so blessed to be part of the family at Midway, signed the Duffys. I believe those are all the announcements we have before we begin our morning worship service. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be here today, all of us here, for one cause and one purpose, and that is for worshiping you. We pray that our morning worship service is pleasing in your sight and that all of our hearts and minds are open and ready to receive the word, and our singing to you brings joy to your heart. We pray that you be with everyone that's here in the church and everyone that is serving today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let every heart rejoice and sing, let choral anthems rise, ye aged men and children bring to God your sacrifice. For he is good, the Lord is good, and kind are all his ways. With songs and songs and honors sounding loud, the Lord Jehovah. kingdom is forever. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God.
Going to read Psalms 46, 1 through 11. Reading from ESV. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, through the mountains tremble at its swallow. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdom totters. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the work of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah.
Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
There was a grandfather with his two grandsons on a train, and the boys were really rambunctious and causing a lot of noise. And finally, the guy who was in the cabin to take up all the tickets came through and said, "You need to really get a handle on your boys. They're causing a lot of trouble." And he looked up at the guy and he said, "Trouble? You don't know what trouble is. Their mom's been in the hospital for a week. We're on our way to see them. One of the boys has gum in his hair. The other boy ate the tickets. And to top it all off, we're on the wrong train." Trouble. We all go through troubles and struggles. We face them in our lives. But how do we deal with those troubles? What kind of perspective do we have when we face troubles? This is a time of year where a lot of people are graduating, and a popular gift to people that are graduating is Dr. Seuss's book, The Places You Will Go. And they often will have the teacher sign the book and then give that to the graduate as a gift. And since we have Ava, I guess we have a lot of children's books that are being read, and sometimes re-looking at some of those things that are said is kind of interesting, but this is a little portion from that book. Oh, the places you'll go. You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers and soar the high heights. You won't lag behind because you have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang, so you'll take the lead. Wherever you fly, you're the best of the best. Wherever you go, you'll top all the rest, except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say, but sadly, it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from that lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. It's true, isn't it? Unslumping yourself is not easily done. And we can think of lots of stories in people's lives that we know that went through tragic circumstances. We know the reality of the little children's book, Alexander and His Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. I think I'll go to Australia. We know sometimes we have those days where nobody likes me, everybody hates me, think I'll go eat worms. But we also know the devastation that some people's lives go through. I was a youth minister, and there was a girl that the week before her graduation, her mother passes away from cancer. I had kids in my youth group that got married, and shortly after their marriage, they lost their spouse. Had a guy that worked with me that had scheduled to get his tires changed at Firestone, and he and his new wife were out on the road, and the tires blew, and the car crashed, and he survived, and she didn't. Sometimes unslumping ourselves is difficult. It's hard to do. And we face things in life that are difficult. It could be the phone call that says to us, you don't have this job anymore. It could be the note on the table that says, I don't love you anymore. It could be a diagnosis from a doctor about yourself or your kids or your grandkids. There are things we face that are difficult. And how do we view that as God's people? And in this text, in Psalm 46, we see that we have a strong refuge. And we've been going through different psalms. We did right at the very beginning, right before the pandemic hit and at the very beginning of the pandemic. And now we're going through some psalms. And I hope that you're looking at these psalms as things that you're adding to your playlist, that you're memorizing and thinking about some of these scriptures, because some of them are so pointed and give us direction. But when we get in difficulties, many times people can go through those circumstances and lose their faith. It should be something that sharpens us and not dulls us. It should be something that makes us shine instead of crumbles us. I've shared with you before, my grandfather was a machinist, and I was going through a tough circumstance in my life, and he says, here's a piece of emery cloth. If you rub it up against a dirt clod, it crumbles. If you rub it up against a piece of steel, it shines. How can we shine through those difficult times? Well, the Psalms, this particular Psalm, gives us three directives to elevate security, that we rest and nest and settle ourselves in the right place. And it's going to tell us, don't be afraid, have faith. Don't worry, be steadfast. Don't strive, be still. And know that He is God. So first of all, God is our refuge. Have faith. In the text, he's going to use two different Hebrew words for refuge. The first word is a shelter, a safe place. I grew up in Lubbock, Texas, most of my growing up days. And whenever there's a tornado coming, we went to the cellar. And that was a place of a shelter, a safe place to go to be away from the storm. Sometimes when hurricanes come here, you leave, right? And you go somewhere that is safe. That kind of shelter. At the end of the text, he's going to use a word that means a high place, above everything, so high that you can't be affected by the things that are causing danger. In this particular psalm, it's only 11 verses, but if you look at the references, the things that are pointed to God about 18 times, sometimes he's using he, sometimes he's talking about the Most High, or he's saying the word God or Lord. But the focus of the psalm, when we are in trouble, is God. That should be our focus. He's where we find safety. He's where we find strength. And in the very first words, he says, God is our refuge and strength. That's interesting to me. God is our defense and our offense. We're protected by God. He's our refuge. But he also provides us with the strength that we use as we face those struggles. An ever-present help in trouble. God is there. If you read the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, the principle you get when we talk to little kids about that story, wherever you are, God is there. Wherever Joseph was, God was there. And there's story after story after story in Scripture about God being present with His people. God is a very present help in trouble. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can say with confidence, I won't be afraid. God is my helper. Hebrews chapter 13. All things work together for good for those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. Those are scriptures that give us strength and hope, as well as He can do exceedingly abundantly far above all we ask or imagine because of His power that is at work within us. Ephesians chapter 3, 20 and 21. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. He's saying, think of the most unimaginable events that would cause great fear and great shock and great devastation. If we are with God, we are safe. Don't be afraid. Have faith. Sometimes our immediate reaction to some circumstances is fear. I struggled with that growing up. I was afraid of lots of things. I was afraid of the dark. I was afraid of taking the trash out in the dark. Because one time we lived in an apartment complex in Lubbock, the alleys had we had a dumpster behind where I would take the trash. And I threw the trash in, and there was a bunch of cats in the dumpster, and they all jumped out. And from then on, I was afraid. I used to be afraid a shark would come out of the drain and get me when I swam at night. So, yeah, I had lots of issues. But I had to overcome some of those fears, right? I don't have the same fears anymore. Maybe. But we all deal with fears from times, but fear is the opposite of faith. And we're to be people of faith. And when I think about circumstances of life that we face, I look at our young kids that are growing up amongst us. And what I want them to get from us and what I want them to learn is to have a faith that will sustain them no matter what they face in life. Whether it's tragedies, whether it's guilt, whether it's whatever it is, that they will have a faith that will sustain them and keep them faithful. Don't you want that? God wants that for us. for us to have faith. God sent spies into the promised land. They came out. Two said we can do it. The rest said we can't. All of Israel believed the spies that said we can't. So they had fear instead of faith. All those things they faced were so small for God, but so big to them. Things that we think are big are small to God. We should not be afraid. We should have faith. A faith that will sustain us through those difficult times. God is our refuge. The first place we should go when we face difficulties in life is to God. He is the answer, because with God, all things are possible. God can do amazing things. Nothing's impossible for God. We marvel at stories in the Bible about people that had that kind of faith. God calls us to be those kind of people, that when we face circumstances that the rest of the world would look at and say, there's no way they could recover from that, we as God's people step out and say, when man can't, God can. Paul writes Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and says, God did not give you a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Self-discipline says, I can. Love says, I must. And power says, I can. We're to be people of faith and stand up in faith. We look at the circumstances of our world today, and it's crazy, isn't it? What does God want most from us? To run to Him. To seek refuge in Him. To be faithful to Him. To people who stand in faith and say, it may be crazy and may be chaotic, but I serve a God who's in control. I love Him. I respect Him. And I'll obey Him. God is our refuge and our strength. Whatever the trouble is. And maybe you're here today and you think, you know, that sounds good, but I have some things in my life. I don't know if God can forgive me. God is your refuge and your strength. Go to Him. There's no sin God can't forgive. If you're penitent and obedient to Him, He can forgive it. If you obey His word, if you obey His will. God is our refuge. Have faith. God's our shelter in times of trouble. And when you're influencing other people, that should be your response to them. Lead them to the one who is the true shelter. That's what the world needs. Too many people run to the wrong places instead of running to God. God is with us. Be steadfast. There's a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her and shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. He's painting a picture at the beginning of this by saying, God is present. God is with you. And when God is with you, you can do incredible things, and He's there to help you. The leper comes to Jesus and says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reaches out His hand and says, I am willing. God wants to help you. We can say, I will not be afraid. God is my helper. God cares for you. God loves you. God doesn't want you to go through the circumstances you go through in life alone. He wants you to feel His presence and His power. And He's there for you. Wherever you go, God is. And he provides us with the things we need to sustain us and support us and help us. We should draw close to God in circumstances that are difficult, but why do we not? Sometimes we blame God for our circumstances. Sometimes we seek help in lots of other areas in life, and God is our last resort instead of our first resort. The nations, verse 6, rage, and the kingdoms are moved. He uttered his voice, and he melted the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He wants us to know that he is with us. And if God is with us, we're going to be okay. Worry not. God is with us. And Jesus teaches the same thing, doesn't he? He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or about what you're going to wear. Don't the birds of the air, all those things, that you know, they don't worry about that. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Don't worry. Focus on God. Be steadfast. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. When we're going through trouble, the thing we need to focus on is being faithful to God and being steadfast. God is steadfast. We need to be steadfast and focus on him and doing the things he's called us to do. God will deliver us. Remember Jonah? He runs away from God because he doesn't like what God asked him to do. He goes down to board the boat. He goes down in the boat. The storm comes. They throw him over the side of the boat. Blub, 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 he goes down. The big fish swallows him up, spends 3 days and three nights in time out. And what does he pray in Jonah chapter 2? Seaweeds wrapped around his head. He's gone down to the bottom. But he's going to look to God, to his temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. And he looks for deliverance. He calls, God hears, God rescues him. He's vomited out on dry land. Because even in his running away from God, when he turned to God, God was with him. He goes into the city, he preaches. He still goes through other times where he's not on the same page as God. Sometimes he runs ahead of God. Sometimes he runs with God. Sometimes he runs away from God. But God is present. And God gives the perfect gift to imperfect people, a fresh start. And he extends that to us. God is with us. We need to live believing that he's with us. And if God is with us, we need to live like he's with us. Respectably, honorably, holy. God is with us. When is God not with us? When we sin. When we turn away from him. Our sin separates us from God. It reminds us of the importance of being right with God, because when we face troubles, who do we want on our side? God. Because true deliverance, true help, comes from God. And he says, Selah, in these three sections, it means to exalt or to lift up. It also means to pause, to reflect. They're singing a song. And they're saying words. I believe that this is a song that the Israelites are supposed to be paying attention to as they think about God. And they're listening and they're singing this song. And so far, it's been in the second person, and it's fixing to change as it gets into this last section. God is with us in times of trouble. And the third point, God is in control Be still. Come, behold the works of the Lord. He who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot with fire. This first picture is God is powerful. There's no weapon he can't destroy. There's no foe he can't defeat. The message of the Old Testament many times was the battle belongs to the Lord. He's the one that's superior. He's the one that's powerful. He's the one that is strong. People cause wars. God can stop wars. Which is more powerful, starting it or stopping it? God can cause wars to cease. Nobody knows when this psalm refers to. Some people will apply it to Sennacherib later on, Hezekiah. Some of the events in David's life, nobody knows. But what does the psalm teach us? That God is in control. He is all-powerful. So we need to be still. And then he says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Why does he pick Jacob? I don't know, but anytime I hear Jacob, I remember his word meant supplanter, hill catcher, cheater. Look at Jacob's life. He was not where he needed to be faith-wise, but God worked with him and took him to a place where his name was changed. Who did all that in Jacob's life? God. If God could use Jacob, if God could change Jacob, he can use me and he can change me. The God of Jacob is a God of grace and power, and he is an amazing God. And he's a God of promise. And he always delivers on his promises. But verse 10 is one we should all memorize and think about. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. So here's this song, and it's in the second person, and now it gets in the first person. So you're listening to this song, and now it's the voice God is being represented. Be still and know that I am God. And what does that mean? Some of your translations say still. Some of your translations say strive not. The word, the Hebrew word, means strive not. The indication in this text is it means let your hands down. Don't be striving and fighting and opposing God. Let your hands down. Let go and let God. Don't strive anymore. God's in control. Sometimes the greatest thing we can do is say, I resign as the authority of my life. I'm going to let you, God. And we sing songs, we know songs, become popular about turning over control. Jesus, take the wheel. People familiar with that. But you know what's more important than those songs? It's what's in this book. Be still and know. Release. Let go. Let God be in control. Step back. God tells the Israelites as they're going through the Red Sea, be still. It's a different word. It has an indication to mean stand against. He's saying, don't be afraid. Stand. The enemy's coming, but look at what I'm going to do. And then he tells Moses to tell the Israelites to move. And then God does this incredible act. He saves them, and the Egyptians come after them, and the water goes up, and they're all drowned. And they see God do this, and they celebrate because they see God's power. God is in control. Be still and know that I am God. One of the greatest things we can do as we face struggles and troubles and trials and difficult circumstances in life is to be still and know God. What do we know about God? There's no problem He can't fix. There's nothing impossible for God. What do we know about God? He desires for us to be obedient and to be faithful. He created us and wants fellowship with us. He loves us. He's a redeeming God. Know your God. How do you know God? How do you have faith? How are you steadfast? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. How well do you know God? You can't know God if you've got a dusty Bible on your coffee table. Know God. Know His promises. Know His precepts. Know His word. And respond to God with faith and love and dedication. God is in control. No matter what the world does. Football season's coming up, and sometimes we see a quarterback go up to the line. He's called a play in the huddle. He gets up to the line. He gets under the center, and he looks across at those 300-pound guys across the line, and sometimes he sees the formation, and what does he do? He calls a audible. He'll say different numbers. This is a number we need to remember to call. 6410. Be still and know that He is God. God is in control in times of trouble. Rest and nest in Him. How do you find stability in an unstable world? Sometimes you remember that God is in control and your job is to have faith and ground yourself in that. I don't know if you like to do puzzles. Here's a floor puzzle we got for Ava. What's the most difficult puzzles? If you go and Google it and you look it up, there's actually a company called Buffalo Games that has the world's most difficult puzzles. And one of the ones that comes to the top, which caught my eye, was a puzzle. All it is Dalmatians. It's a two-sided puzzle of Dalmatians. White and black, and you got their noses and their eyes. But I mean, it's got like 500 pieces, but it's a very difficult puzzle. My Nana, my mom's mom, used to do puzzles all the time. And I used to go help her. And a lot of times whenever I started helping, the box lid was turned over on the table. And when I started, I had to see what? The box. Because I had to get the picture. Whether that helped me very much or not. But sometimes when we're doing puzzles, we get to a place where we got to look at the box. Where does this piece go? The cool thing about the God that we serve is He shows us in His Word the picture. We know how it all ends. We know where things are headed. We know who's in control. In the book of Revelation, one of the principles is hallelujah anyway, no matter what happens to the people He's writing in that day, no matter what they're going to face, hallelujah anyway. God is in control. And He gives us a way to respond to our troubles. Have faith, be steadfast, and be still. Finding security in an insecure world. There's a story told about Albert Einstein when he was on a train that he often took. The guy came to collect his ticket and said, "Do you have your ticket?" And he looked in his pocket. It wasn't there. He felt in his pants. It wasn't there. He looked in his briefcase. It wasn't there. Looked in the seat, wasn't there. He didn't have his ticket. And the guy collecting the ticket says, "Well, I know who you are. We all know who you are. You travel this way often. Don't worry about it. And so he started to leave. And as he got to the end and was about to go in the next car, he looked back and Albert Einstein was down on his hands and his knees looking under there trying to find the ticket. And he said, "It's okay. We know who you are." And he looked up and said, I know who I am, but I don't know where I'm going. As Christians, we know where we're going. But maybe you're here today and you don't know where you're going. The greatest question you'll ever ask is, where does God want me to go? What does God want me to do to be saved so that I know where I'm going? If we can answer that question for you, we want to sit down and study God's Word with you. But if you already know the answer to that question, that you need to hear and believe and repent and confess and be baptized, respond to that today by obediently putting Christ on as baptism, and your sins will be washed away and you'll be given the gift of the Spirit. Maybe you've been dealing with your life on your own. You know God, but you haven't been living that way, and you need to make things right. Face life with God, being right with God, as we stand and sing.
Bring Christ your broken life, so marred by sin. He will create anew, make whole again. Your empty, wasted years He will restore, and your iniquities remember. Disciple.
This is the time of our worship service that we'll partake of the Lord's Supper. If you would like to follow along with me, we're going to read out of the songbook. If you will, if you want to, you can turn to page 312. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it back in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. May I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I'm going to turn over now to a familiar song, page number 361. I'm going to read the first verse and then the refrain. "There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. They are nailed to the cross, they are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, but he carried my sins with him there." Pray with me for the bread. Our gracious Heavenly Father, bless this bread that represents Jesus' body that was sacrificed upon the cross. As we partake of it, Lord, help us to do so in a way that is pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray with me for the cup. Again, Lord, we pray that you bless this cup that represents Jesus' blood that was shed upon the cross. Help us to partake of it in a way that is pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray with me as we end this memorial service. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus who left heaven to come down to earth to die a cruel death upon the cross so that we can get forgiveness of our sins and spend eternity in heaven with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you would please stand with me for these closing two songs. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation.
his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
If you please take a card from the pew or chairs in front of you, fill it out. If you're in the main auditorium, pass them out. If you're in one of the overflow rooms, pass them in. They'll be picked up right now. Deeper than the ocean and wider than the sea is the grace of the Savior for sinners like me. Sent from the Father, and it thrills my soul just to feel and to know that his blood makes me whole. His grace reaches me, yes, his grace reaches me. Will last through eternity. Now I'm under his control, and I'm happy in my soul. Just to know
believe that God's in control? Sure we do. We know he is. And in part of that control, he says to me and to you, There are some things that you must do, some things you need to do, some things you will enjoy doing. And one of those is to return what he's blessed us with for the work of the church. It is very evident that our blessings have been manifold. We cannot look around the world and not be blessed by what we have. The Apostle Paul noted that there is a time to give to the church, to give to the work of the church, and that is on the first day of each week. So we have that opportunity today. But what do we get out of it? I'm going to be reading from Proverbs chapter 11, just one short verse. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Generous people will prosper. Those who help others will be refreshed. Think about those words. Think about how we personally have been so blessed. We have the opportunity now to give through the money box in the back or through the mail. It really doesn't matter the process, but the important thing is the giving, and to give as we have been blessed, to give liberally. So let us now pray for our contribution. Father, it is so good to be blessed as you blessed us. We know you ask us to do things. One of those things you've asked us to do is to give for the work of your body, your church. We pray, Lord, that as we give, we will do so with a happy heart and to feel blessed that we can share what you've given us back to you. So we pray, Lord, that the contribution that is made will be used wisely and be used for things that forward and move your church into the future. These things we ask in your name. Amen.